சித்தம் அர்த்தம் ந சம்ஸ்பிருஷதி. உணர்வு ஒரு பொருளையும் தொடுவதில்லை. உணர்வு எந்த ஒரு பொருளையும் தொடுவதில்லை. பியூர் கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் டஸ் நாட் டச் எனி ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஹியர் பிகாஸ் தேர் இஸ் நோ ஆப்ஜெக்ட் விச் இஸ் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் தி கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ். கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் இஸ் டிஸ்டிங்க்ட் ஃப்ரம் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் பட் நாட் டிஸ்டன்ட். Like water is distinct from the name and form wave, but not distant. Why they are not distant? Because they are not two. Why they are not two? Wave can be counted as a second thing only if it can exist independently even when the water is not there. Water is removed, wave disappears. Water is, wave exists. The existence of water is the existence of the wave. Wave is just the form, name of a form, which has no independent existence. Therefore, it can't be counted as a second parallel reality to the water. Therefore, we can't even say water and the wave. The and itself you can use only if there are two. Because they're not different. Wave is not different. Water is distinct but not distant. Because they're not two. Therefore, we say what? Water cannot touch the wave. In the same way, the light is distinct from every opaque object where it shines. Every opaque object shines in the light, but no opaque object which shines, which enjoys the status of being existent, is distant from the light. They are non-distancible. For any opaque thing which enjoys the status of being existent, is non-distancible from the light. Light is not the object, but definitely light is distinct from the object, any opaque thing. But no opaque thing is different from the light. Why? Because it does not shine. It does not exist outside of the light. In the same way here, consciousness, light does not touch the object, taint the object, because it is not distant from the touching is probably, but isn't it? Is not touching possible? Therefore, here there are not two. Same over here, in consciousness, the world shines, the objects shine, but consciousness does not touch any of the elements or the elementals or the elemental universe. In fact, there is no such thing called non-existence at all. Therefore, there is no such a thing called non-existent. Really speaking, consciousness manifests as existent. No, consciousness not manifest is what? Non-existent. There's no thing called existent or non-existent outside of existence. The consciousness. Hope you got it. Therefore, even if somebody has a doubt, if the existent thing, consciousness, does not touch the existent object, what about the non-existent thing? Can we say consciousness touches the non-existent thing? No. There is no object at all. Our consciousness does not touch any object. That is what is said in the Skarika. It's all answer for. Same. So 26th karika this is. Then how you say it does not touch? Look at this. You take the example of the dream world. The dream world existing within the realm of dream time and dream space. All Vasanamaya Prapancha, the whole world is in the form of thoughts. Dream world is nothing but your thought. And there is an experiencer in the dream world. As long as you are in sleep, is it? There is an experiencer of the dream world and there is an experienced dream world. But it looks as though it's outside of the dreamer. But on waking up from sleep, the dreamer, the dream, all the three resolve in the waker. Nothing is outside of the waker consciousness. Isn't it true? That he's going to make it very clear in the next thing, we'll see. Nimittam nasada chittam.
Nimittam nasada chittam.
Samsprishatyadva sutrishu. Samsprishatyadva sutrishu. Animitto viparyasaha.
Animitto viparyasaha.
Katham tasya bhavishyati.
Katham tasya bhavishyati.
See, chittam, again, in this karika also, you have to remember the same meaning. Chittam is equal to consciousness. Chittam, nimittam na samsprashati. He repeats the same sentence. He adds one more word, sada, always. Na sada means never. Never does consciousness touch any object, which means consciousness does not touch any object. Consciousness cannot touch any object because there is no object at all. There is no object. There is only consciousness. Just as water cannot touch the wave, gold cannot touch the ornament in the form of chain, or wood cannot touch the table. Similarly, consciousness cannot touch any object because there is no object other than consciousness. So, na sada means never does consciousness touch. Never means when. What do you mean? Trishu adhvasu. Adhvan here means kaleshu. Trishu kaleshu. Before the objects, you know, available during their existence or after their resolution also. Trishu kaleshu, in the past, the present, or in the future. Before, during, after. Which means what? Before you start dreaming, before the dream comes in your mind, dream gets projected also, consciousness does not touch the dream world of objects. How is consciousness? Consciousness obtains very much there as the experiencer. The experiencer consciousness does not touch the dream world of objects before it gets projected. Or even during the experience of the dream also, the experiencer consciousness does not touch the dream objects. Does not objective, understand? Does not touch. or cannot objectify, which is outside of consciousness, the dreamer, and the same dream world after you wake up from sleep, on waking up also, the consciousness, the experiencer consciousness does not touch the dream world. Before its projection, during its experience, after its resolution, also does not touch. Trishu adhvasu, trishu kaleshu, never does the consciousness can objectify the world. Before its manifestation, during its existing experience, and after its resolution. Water can never touch the waves before they rise, during when they are waving, and even after they resolve. Why? When were the waves outside of the water? Where did the waves come from? Where were they? Did the waves come into the ocean from outside, somewhere far from water? Where were the waves? Not outside of water. Coming as waves, waving, wavering, where the waves are, not outside of water. Oh, waves come, make a noise, roaring noise, run, pushing each other, touch, they lash up on the ocean, the shore, come back and resolve. After that also, where do the waves remain? Where? Not outside of water. Trishu kaleshu, trishu adhvasu, three times, before, during, after also, waves do not exist outside of water. Therefore, water can never touch the waves. There is no wave out which is different from water. Similarly, there is no jagat. There is no space, air, fire, water, earth. All these five elements, subtlest element, grossest element, in between elements, and all the elementals and mobile beings, immobile beings, all the experiences and the minds and thoughts, the whole world which is an objective experience, is never outside of consciousness. Before its manifestation, during its existence, after its resolution, does not exist. It cannot exist at all. You can be so sure, wave does not exist at all. In fact, there is no jagat which exists outside of consciousness. Therefore, there is no jagat. Therefore, you can say what? There is only Brahma Chaitanyam. Trishu adhvasu nasadapi chittam samsprishati. Consciousness, never does consciousness touch, objectify, contact the world. Okay? That's what is said here. Is it clear now? So what is the final answer now? There is no universe which is separate from the experiencer consciousness. Therefore, universe is not real. Universe is mithya. Universe is nothing but consciousness. Universe is nothing but consciousness. This is the final lesson. Okay. And here ends the refutation of the Hinayana Bauddhas called Sautrantika Bauddha and Vaibhashika Bauddha. But still, one subtle question is raised. But the question is here, the question here is implied. The question is not openly presented. The answer is given here in the second line. Second line of the 27th Karika is an answer for the question which is not there. So you have to understand the question first before you go to the answer. Now what is the question? Now these people find very difficult to accept that they have been refuted. You know, okay, you sound very, very correct, but still we want to clarify one small doubt here. Is the question, okay, it's not here. The answer is given. Yes, we talk about right perception and wrong perception, right knowledge and wrong knowledge, isn't it? Right experience and wrong experience. What is the basis for us to say this is right knowledge and this is wrong knowledge? This is a question raised. No way. If you answer this, again you end up saying what? There is Jagat. Therefore they ask this question. What do you mean by then, why should we differentiate the right knowledge from the wrong knowledge? Right perception and wrong perception. Right and wrong. You see, you see the rope and you mistake it for a snake. There is a perception, isn't it? Is this one person sees it as rope, other person sees it as snake. And whose perception is correct? Is snake perception correct or rope perception correct? Who is right? Whose knowledge is right? Whose knowledge is wrong? How do we know that? Hey, what is this stupid question? This is very simple answer. We tally outside, isn't it? What is outside? If I have my cognition, if my experience is of the snake, then we'll see, is there an object called a snake outside? Then we say what? Oh, if there's a snake outside, then if my knowledge is snake knowledge, snake perception, then right perception. There's no snake, there's only rope, then rope is outside, but I experience a snake means that my perception is wrong, my cognition is wrong, knowledge is wrong, experience is wrong. So we tally the cognition in the mind and the object outside. We see, you know, if they are in concurrence, then we can say it is right knowledge, or we can say it is wrong knowledge. What's the big deal? Simple answer, isn't it? But here we say right knowledge, wrong knowledge is only within the realm of relative world. From the standpoint of consciousness, it's only within objects who can say right perception is can be right and wrong, isn't it? But there is no object at all when you say there is no snake, there is no rope. When you say there is only consciousness means you have to go next step, isn't it? There is neither rope nor snake. There is no object at all. From the standpoint of your perception, cognition, definitely we say your cognition is right cognition. If the cognition, you know, concurs, if it is in keeping with the object you perceive. If your cognition is different from what is outside, then definitely we'll say your perception is wrong, your cognition is wrong. That is different. But here we are not talking about the right perception or the wrong perception. We say there is no object at all, absolutely. So right and wrong are also relative. Therefore, don't make decision today. Let me go and do all wrong things. If we do wrong things, then we will never arrive at this truth of the fact of the truth being distinct beyond right and wrong. There is no object at all. This is what they do. Okay, you have to ask such questions when somebody negates the very object. There is no object. There is only the truth. This becomes very clear only when you resolve even the experiencer status. As long as experiencer, knower, observer, that is there strongly, and there is an observed, experienced, isn't it? Known object, subject, object, division is very much there. You have to resolve the very experiencer. Physically, you are not doing anything. You are only resolving the experiencer knower status. Now you will realize how many times I made you feel bored in the class by repeating it. How important lesson that is. You all must have felt very bored with my repetition. But I was so particular in this, making you see how there is no illuminator other than light, resolving the subject of illumination, the illuminator in the light. It's only relative, isn't it? Light enjoys the status of being the illuminator from the standpoint of the opaque object which is illumined. But really speaking, there is no illuminator other than the light. It's a temporary status. They resolve the illuminator, then you say there is no illumination outside of light, with very swarupam of the light. And what about the illumined? There is no illumined. There is only light, reflected. Reflection of the light. Every illumined object is nothing but reflection of light. Every illumined object is nothing but reflection of light. Therefore, reflection of light is nothing but light. There is only light. Got it? Similarly, we have to say there is, I am the experiencer. And first of all, you start in kindergarten, first lesson. I am the experiencer. And I am the experiencer, different from the experienced objects. So I am not the world, not the world. That is why we never recommend that Dridhishiveka should be understood very carefully. Not to say, I am not the world, I am not the body. Not to say that, what are you then? There is nothing I am. That's why I said, I told the doctor, people say, the world is, therefore I see the world. Then we have to say first what? I see, therefore the world is. Then we have to say, I am the world. You have to move from I see, therefore the world is correct. But I am the world. When you're saying I am the world, you have resolved subject-object division, duality. Understand? What we say here, the whole world of objects, there's no object which enjoys independent existence outside of the knowledge. The known, the experienced, does not have independent existence outside of the experience, the knowledge. There is no knowledge other than without the knower. There is no knower other than consciousness. It's called resolving Triputi Bheda. Knower, knowledge, known. Difference. experiencer, experience, experienced. Triputi, Bheda, resolve. All these differences are relative differences. Absolutely, there is no difference. You just say, there is only Brahma and consciousness. The Turiya Chaitanyam. And I am the consciousness. Therefore, Aham Idam Sarvam. You include your body, mind, sense complex in the world. Resolve I in consciousness. Then resolve the whole Jagat in consciousness. Then you can say, I am the whole. Steps. You have to remember the steps what I said. Understand? Therefore, what is this Jagat? The whole Jagat is a manifestation of consciousness. If you remember this sentence, every opaque shining thing is reflection of light, therefore nothing but light. Therefore, every object you experience here is manifestation of consciousness. Manifest consciousness is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, there is no Jagat. There is only Brahma. Brahman alone is Satyam. And the whole Jagat is Brahma. There is no Jagat other than Brahma. If you separate something called Jagat, then you call it Mithya. Appearance of Brahman, which is not really there. Therefore, he says, there is no existent thing, there is no non-existent thing. Never does consciousness touch the world, touch the objects. Why? Because Trishu Advasu, in three times, before its manifestation, during its existence, after its resolution, never does consciousness touch any of them, because Jagat or any worldly object is non-separate from consciousness. Inseparable from consciousness. Inseparable. Now, therefore, what about right and wrong? There is no object at all when you say, and how can you talk about the right knowledge of the object, wrong knowledge of the object? There must be some object. No, absolutely there is no object. Therefore, when there is no object at all, how can you talk about the right or the wrong knowledge of the object? There is an object itself is wrong. You said there is an object other than consciousness, you are wrong. Absolutely. Then how can you talk about right or wrong? You can talk about right or wrong, isn't it? Yes, there is a cognition, and relatively you can say, this is right, this is wrong. Therefore, this is the answer. Got it? So good. That is what is animittaha viparyasaha katham tasya bhavishyati. See, the answer is, he says, animittaha. When animittaha means when there is no object at all, viparyasaha ta katham tasya bhavishyati. How can you talk, viparyasa means wrong, okay? How can you talk about the wrong cognition, wrong knowledge of an object, a right knowledge of an object, when you negate the very object? When there is when you say there is no object of consciousness, from this standpoint of consciousness, there is no object at all. Therefore, from the standpoint of consciousness, there is no right or wrong. From the standpoint of cognition, there is an object. Cognition itself is what? Relative. There is no cognition independent of consciousness. See, from the standpoint of experience, the standpoint of knowledge, the standpoint of cognition, you can say there is an object. From the standpoint of consciousness, there is no object. Because there is no cognition at all. There is no such thing called cognition or experience without consciousness. Every experience, every cognition is consciousness. The object of cognition also is what? Consciousness only. Absolutely, therefore, viparyasahat katham tasya bhavishyati. How can you talk about the, wrong cognition or right cognition of an object when you say the standpoint of consciousness, there is no object at all? Does it go above the head? Nice to know. Okay. This is final conclusion. Therefore means what? I have made it very clear. Hey, Hinayana Buddhas, please listen to me. Both Sautrantika, hey Vaibhashika, please listen carefully. Now, there is no Jagat. Therefore, there is no, universe is not real, Mithya. There is no Jagat, universe independent of consciousness. There is only Brahma. That is Advaitins. But still, here, when he negates, there is no Jagat, independent of the experiencer consciousness. Therefore, universe is not real. Till there is no duality, isn't it? But till now is okay. Now, till now, Gaudapada Acharya is very, 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 very friendly with Yogacara Buddha. Having refuted them, he separated them. He said, now what happened? Now, this Gaudapada Acharya, as though he has brought him from the group alone, from the Buddha's group, as though, don't take it seriously, okay? It doesn't have intention of separating anybody. I'm just saying, as the Gaudapada Acharya, as though he has joining him in refuting the other two Buddhas, he brought him alone, made him weak. Now, in this following verse, I joined you, I appreciated your understanding in refuting, in refuting their view, saying Jagat is not there, independent of experiencer consciousness. Now let me see you. What does it mean? Now he is going to refute, Gaudapada Acharya is going to refute Yogacara Buddha. Look at this. Tasmanna jayate chittam.
Tasmanna jayate chittam.
Chitta drishyam na jayate.
Chitta drishyam na jayate.
Tasya pasyanti ye jatim.
Tasya pasyanti ye jatim.
Khevai pasyanti te padam.
Khevai pasyanti te padam.
So, people who don't like this discussion on Bauddha Matam will be very happy hereafter, here onwards. Keith ji, 29th onwards, again we'll go back to Vedanta study. This is the last verse, bear with me. Okay, so next class you should be first in the class. Now, what is the difference between Yogacara Bauddha and Advaiti, Gaudapada Acharya or Shankar Bhagavatpada? What is the difference here? experienced universe is not there outside of consciousness, experiencer. Fine. But he says, the experiencer consciousness is fleeting consciousness. For him, there is a constant, continuous flow of fresh consciousness which comes and goes. No? Therefore, that exists only for a moment. Therefore, for him, arriving, departing, fleeting, momentary consciousness is the Atma, I, the knower, experiencer consciousness. Therefore, he is called Kshanika Vijnana Vadi. Yogachara Bauddha is called Kshanika Vijnana Vadi. Whereas, the difference, according to Advaitin, the experiencer consciousness is Nitya Vijnanam, eternal consciousness. There is no flow of consciousness. There is no arriving, departing, fleeting, momentary consciousness. There is a non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, eternal, unchanging, all-pervasive consciousness. Nitya Vijnanam. Advaitin is a Nitya Vijnanavadi. And he is, Yogacara Bauddha is a Kshanika Vijnanavadi. This is the subtle but big difference. And here, what does he say here? There is only one quarter of the Karika, wherein he negates, refutes the Yoga Yogacara Bauddha. But we have to understand here. See, for him, the experiencer consciousness is fleeting consciousness means, and he gives the example also for that. What is the example given there? Suppose just as water, Ganga water is flowing, and when the water is flowing, you see the constant continuous flow of fresh water in the river. But the water which you see in the water is not the same water. Because the flow is constant, it looks as though, isn't it? There is permanent water, but really speaking, there is a fleeting flow of water. Like there's a fleeting flow of consciousness. That is his example. And he gives one more example. If there is a lamp, whose example it is? Yogacara's example. And the lamp is full of oil, there is a wick, and there's a flame, isn't it? And then there's a flame is there. That flame is a permanent flame or a fleeting momentary flame. According to him, the flame seems to be continuous. You think the flame is constant, no? That the flame is one flame. Really speaking, there is a constant continuous flow of flame. The flame keeps fleeting. Comes and goes and comes and goes and comes and goes. But because continuously it is flowing, the flow of flame, the flame seems to be there permanently. Really speaking, there is a constant new fresh flame. How do you know that? How do you say the flame comes and goes? You see the oil, he says. If the flame, is there, doesn't go, how do you know the old flame has gone, new flame has come? Because I see how much oil has depleted. The more oil has depleted, the more flame has gone. The depletion of oil in the lamp is the proof for the flow of the flame. The flame being fresh and new. Two examples. But here, very good example, very well thought of, very well presented, not by me, by him. Gaudapada Acharya says, who is that? Who is the knower of that flow of consciousness? Who is the one who is watching and telling the arrival of consciousness and departure of consciousness, the fleeting of consciousness? He must be different. If you're standing there on the railway station, you know, and you're standing there and the trains keep coming and going. The train which is arriving and departing cannot talk about the arrival of the next train or the departure of the previous train. If the passenger sitting inside the train also cannot talk about the arrival of the next train, departure of the previous train from that station. The one who is standing at the platform joblessly, not getting into the train, isn't it? Who doesn't, because sitting all the time and telling, oh, which train you want to go, the train has gone, this train is not there. He doesn't get into the train, you know, the passenger. Who's different? The one who is there on the platform, watching the trains arriving, departing, must be definitely different. Not the passenger sitting inside the train, not the train which goes before, which comes after, can talk about the arrival of the new one, the departure of the previous one. He cannot talk about. He must be the one distinct, different from the arriving, departing, the moving things and the train. Similarly here, there must be the other person who is distinct from the one, distinct from that which comes and goes. Please understand, that which comes and goes, constantly coming and flowing, is a thought. There's a thought flow, not consciousness flow. There's a constant, continuous flow of subtlest thoughts. Thoughts keep on coming. Thoughts are varied. Therefore, the cognitions are varied, experiences are different, emotions are different, because thoughts are varied, many. And the thought flow is what now? Really like a flow of Ganga. You cannot say. They just rise and they keep flowing. Thought flow stops when? That is when you are knocked off. When you are knocked off, Bhagavan's order knocks you off, and you are knocked off, thought flow also stops. Then you have, that's what called what now? Rest. Who rests? Mental rest, sleep. And when you wake up, along with you wake up, start flowing what now again? Thoughts. Thoughts flow. You mistake, so this Yogacara Bauddha mistakes the constant, continuous, is it, flow of thoughts for flow of consciousness. One thought comes and goes, other thought comes. One thought goes, other thought comes. There's no gap between one thought and the other thought. Like there's no gap between the water which goes before and the water which follows. Constant flow, isn't it? Like that the thoughts keep flowing. Thoughts are mistaken by him for flow of consciousness. One thing you have to remember here, every time the thought comes, and the thought serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. The thought is manifestation of consciousness. So thought plus consciousness is equal to what? Manifest consciousness. What is every cognition now? Every cognition, any experience is nothing but thought plus consciousness, which is otherwise called manifest consciousness. Manifest consciousness, it looks as though when the thought, when you move the mirror, reflection also moves. You don't move, okay? They move the mirror, you sit there itself, you can move the mirror, no? Then it looks as though your reflection moves along with the reflecting medium. Here also, the manifest consciousness as though moves because of the movement of the vritti, manifesting medium, where he mistakes the thoughts, conscious thoughts, now not mere thought. He mistakes, Yogacara Buddha mistakes the conscious thoughts for consciousness. He mistakes the constant flow of thoughts for fleeting of consciousness. Therefore, the pure consciousness is distinct, which does not come, does not go, does not move, does not change. That consciousness is what? Turiya Chaitanyam Atma is the substance of the substantive I. There is no substance other than consciousness for the substantive I. How sure you are, there is no substance other than water for the substantive wave. So also there is no substance other than consciousness for the substantive I. And I, the consciousness, am distinct, not distant from the arriving, departing, fleeting thoughts, in whose presence thoughts become conscious thoughts. Understand? Therefore, conscious chittam na jayate. What he don't say, consciousness does not come and go, is not born. So he says now, see that now, tasmat. Now I explain to you, therefore I can say what now? Tasmat, therefore, na jayate chittam. That is the, that what, tasmat na jayate chittam. Take that quarter sentence, chittam na jayate. Consciousness is not born. He Yogacara Buddha, please understand this fact. Therefore, the one who sees the arrival and departure of thoughts is distinct from the arriving, departing thoughts, non-arriving, non-departing, ever-remaining, everlasting, eternal consciousness is chittam. Chittam na jayate, is not born. Which means what? Not born means does not come and go. Not born, therefore does not die also. Therefore doesn't come and go. It is eternal. That quarter line, tasmat chittam na jayate, therefore consciousness does not come and go, that sentence is an answer for Yogacara Buddha. Refutation of Yogacara Buddha is done by Gaudapada Acharya just by saying two words. What? Chittam na jayate. Consciousness is not born. That's all he says. We have to understand the rest from where? Sorry. We say Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram. How do we understand the rest? Chittam na jayate. Consciousness is not born. You have learned this sentence elsewhere also, everywhere. But in this context, these two words, where it is said consciousness is not born, is an answer, is an expression of refutation of Yogacara Buddha's view of consciousness being fleeting one, arriving, departing one. Is it clear? What is it? Therefore, now he says what? Chitta drishyam na jayate. Now next sentence. Chitta drishyam na jayate. What is there is only consciousness. Consciousness does not, is not born, does not die, doesn't come and go means, does not undergo change means what? Chitta drishyam also na jayate. Chitta drishyam, object of consciousness also is not born. There is no object of consciousness. The seeming object of consciousness also is not born. Chitta drishyam na jayate. Is not born means what? There is no creation. Chitta drishyam na jayate. Let me tell you something and stop the class. Chitta drishyam na jayate. Consciousness is not born. And what now? The object of consciousness also is not born. Consciousness does not come and go. There is no world, there is no creation, there is only Brahma. And I am that Brahma. When the wave says, I, the wave, am water, the wave does not see another wave. I am the whole. Wave does not seeing other wave. No, you are not Brahman, I am Brahman. Doesn't say that. I am the water, you are not water. There's a problem. Big problem. Here also when you say there's no Jagat, there's no consciousness is not born, does not come and go, is of the nature of changelessness, there's no Jagat other than consciousness. When you say I am the consciousness. You have to resolve I is, no, always hanging somewhere. My God, where to resolve it? Already dragged from the world, dragged from the body, mind, sense complex. I is simply hanging. Where to resolve? Resolve it in consciousness, finished. Okay, that's called Mahabali, greatest offering. That's what Bhagavan's foot being kept on your head. Understand? When you place the eye sense cognitively in consciousness, finished. Bhagavan has put his foot, Vamana, on the head of Mahabali. Finished. You are not there anymore. What is there? Only Brahma. Where are you? Aham Brahma. When you say Aham Brahmasmi, you cannot say Aham Brahma, you are not Brahma. That's the only problem. You can't feel superior. That's the problem. You won't feel inferior, but you can't feel superior also. In Jnanam, we can never feel superior. That's the problem. But we want to feel superior. Isn't it? Our whole problem is, we all want to feel superior. No. In Jnanam, if you feel superior also, problem. If you feel inferior also, greater problem. Much bigger problem. But in Jnanam, when you say Aham Brahmasmi, you don't feel bigger. You don't feel superior. Because who are you superior to? Isn't it? That's the beauty. For Chittam na jayate. Chitta drishyam na jayate. And if there are people who say, no, the jiva is born, jagat is born, there is creation, now this world, such people are like the people who say, oh, I see the feet of birds flying in the sky. The birds are flying here. How do you know? I see the footprints of the birds there. Can you see the footprints of the birds in the sky? This example we came across in Mundagam also. Can you see the footprints of the fish in the water? You can never see. If people say, it's like seeing the footprints of the birds, in the sky. Footprints, okay? You can't even see the feet of the birds when they're flying. Because we are too gross. Our eyesight is very poor. And how can you see the footprints of the birds after they move away? It's like that. If the people say means, which means we have to shift. Our perception has to change. For our perception to change, we have to become much subtler minded, much sharper intellectually. Let us pray for Bhagavan's grace for this vision. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.